This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio Northeast Corridor, that's Perrin Bidel Road up through Nacogdoches. It's a commercial area, it's seen better days, and since about 2005, there have been several efforts to revitalize the area, and there's a new one. But what do you want to see happening to this key part of San Antonio? How would you describe the character and the vibe of the Northeast Corridor? Other areas have been successful in rediscovering, like Austin Highway. Well, why not Perrin Bidel in Nacogdoches? Give us a call. We want to hear what you have to say about this. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon by Rudy Nino. He is Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Department of Planning and Commercial Development, Community Development. Rebecca Podowski is a Senior Policy Advisor for District 10 City Council Representative Clayton Perry. And Bud Little is with us. He's a Neighborhood President for the Hills of Park North and a member of the Northeast Corridor Steering Committee, and also he's a legendary broadcaster here in San Antonio, covered City Hall for many, many years over at WOAI AM radio. And it's great to have him on our airs.
God bless you, my son.
We still remember you, Bud. You're always awesome.
It's nice.
Let me, let's get started. You're talking about Perrin Bidel, and let's get some color. Bud Little, you've been out there for a long time. When did you move out to that area, and what was it like?
When my wife and I moved to San Antonio from Corpus Christi, it was a little two-lane, farm-to-market, unimproved road. And there was, like I said earlier, a Dairy Queen, a drive-in grocery, and maybe one other business out there. And it has grown dramatically.
And what year was that?
That was 1973.
Wow.
Okay. I wished I'd had some money and I could have bought some of that property along Perrin Bidel back when we first moved here.
There had been an explosion of growth over the years. There was some hot development. People moved out into that area in droves, and then not so much.
Well, unfortunately, the city didn't keep a very good eye on it, and the types of businesses that started going in were not the type that caused people to want to come and shop on Perrin Bidel or even locate on Perrin Bidel. And over the years, it got pretty bad. It's waning now. We're not the problems we had before are not nearly as severe as they were back then. But for about 15 years, it was left to fallow. I mean, just left alone. Seemed like nobody cared. And then all of a sudden, well, like I said, you said two ill-fated attempts to try and revitalize it. Then the city got involved. There were actually people doing work other than those on a committee, and responsible, effective people. I'm so pleased with what's been done by Rebecca and her group. It's not even funny. It's rewarding to see others care about my side of town like I do.
Well, there's a lot going on. A well-maintained corridor. The roads are good. The lights are there. We just need to figure out how to get the right businesses and the people there. In chemistry, there is a concept of activation energy, where you just need to put in a little extra energy to create the reaction to have a combust. And so we're wondering if the city and others can come around with activation energy to make this area, the Northeast Corridor, come back to full potential. So let's go over to Rebecca Podowski. You're with District 10 City Council Representative Clayton Perry's office. Can you talk about what the vision is?
Thank you. The vision for us, like you said, is to activate the area. It's to bring attention to it and to use our office as kind of a center point in spreading that message. You know, we would like to see economic development get involved more with the city. We like to invite Real Estate Council of San Antonio to the table. You know, really getting the message that we have commercial space available, there is attention to this area, and just see what we can draw out of those resources. And on our end, we have been pushing for, you know, continuing this budget line item for our grant program. We are in the process of doing the design guidelines RFP process, and to bring kind of a standardization of what kind of new development we like to see happen out there. And I think all those things together can really do, like you said, activate the area and just, you know, give that sense that the city cares and that we want this to continue and to succeed.
Now, there was a bond election last year. Did this area get any resources?
Yes. Thousand Oaks, which feeds into our Northeast Corridor, is scheduled for a multitude of improvements. And additionally, there was money set aside for the Perrin Homestead property, which is a historic piece of property that was obviously owned by the Perrin family. And we would like to see it become a teaching point, a small park for that area to kind of reclaim their history and their story of San Antonio.
Yeah, driving up that area, you know, Perrin Vital, you don't get the feeling that the city has put a whole lot of resources there. You don't see a park, you don't see a library, you don't see things like that. And so this would change that?
Theoretically, yes. You know, we are working on trying to secure additional space for a park, but that would be kind of the initial draw as you enter in the corridor from 410, is to go ahead and have that placemaking spot right there to set the tone that this area matters, this area played a part in San Antonio's history.
And so let me go to Rudy Nino with the City of San Antonio Department of Planning and Community Development. Is this a case of we want to maximize the potential, we want to stop the bleeding, we want to make sure that any dollars invested here will pay back multiple times? What are y'all looking at?
Well, I do believe that it is an all-of-the-above approach. I think that the City of San Antonio is really interested in ensuring that this area, corridors like this, particularly corridors that have been, you know, that have felt neglected, you know, since the 1970s, get the attention that they need so that they can thrive. The neighboring neighborhoods that surround these corridors, I think, are looking forward to a renewed energy. I know that the neighborhoods, as a testament by Bud Little, these neighborhoods want to see better development. They want to see more active uses and a place where they can walk and potentially bike to that is better designed, but at the same time is thriving. So I do think that this is an effort to help this community continue to improve and continue to thrive.
Typically in San Antonio, when we talk about trying to put resources in corridors, we talk about inside Loop 410. That's where it's kind of the focus is. And this is one of the first corridors outside of Loop 410 that is getting a special kind of attention. Is that right?
It's one of the first. I think that really the Northeast Corridor is going to be a model. We're going to find in the future, maybe even in the near future, that the Northeast Corridor, with all of the great work that has been done, starting with, of course, all of the work that Heather Yost has done, who's the project manager with the Northeast Corridor, all of this great work ultimately is going to become a model where you have this all-encompassing perspective of building capacity within the community so that they can participate in the revitalization of the area, improving the design and the aesthetics, doing your best to reduce crime and increase safety, and also helping businesses develop in an area. So I really do think that this can be a model for other suburban corridors that are very different, like you said, than those corridors inside 410 that developed in the 50s and 60s and really have a sense of place that they're trying to preserve. Well, these areas really were developed quite differently.
We're talking about the Northeast Corridor, which is Perrin Bottle Road up to Nacogdoches. Also, how to maximize the potential of this area. What does this neighborhood want? How would you characterize this neighborhood? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this one-minute break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about the Northeast Corridor revitalization, and you want to call into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. Over the weekend, we had a voicemail comment. Here we go.
I think it would be a wonderful joy and an improvement in safety, perhaps saving lives, if there were protected bike lanes along those two avenues.
Okay, so let's go to Rebecca Podolsky, Senior Policy Advisor for District 10 City Council Representative Clayton Perry, and this is Perry's area. Bike lanes, no bike lanes up there.
You're right, there are no bike lanes right now, but I believe in SA Corridors under Rudy Nino's department that is something that is being incorporated for this area as far as the vision of a place where you can drive, you can walk, and you can bike all safely.
And so is that something that's underway, Rudy?
Yeah, well, One aspect that makes the Northeast Corridor really interesting is that it's located within an area that is it's a high growth area. SA Tomorrow identified this area as a regional employment center or regional center where there's already 15,000 or more jobs. But we need to continue to focus on just not just increasing those jobs, but providing housing choice and housing opportunities. And in order for us to create complete communities for people to live in, we do have to provide those infrastructure amenities, those the ability for people to walk, for people to bike, for people to have dedicated lanes, even for public transit potentially. So the SA Corridor project was an implementation of our SA Tomorrow comprehensive plan. And yes, it does incorporate different recommendations for how to improve transit use within a particular area and support the type of development that'll make transit marketable.
But Little, you live in this area. You're the neighborhood president for the Hills of Park North, and you're a member of the Northeast Corridor Steering Committee. What's it like to live out there?
I love it. It's not Shangri-La by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm glad when my wife Faye and I moved to San Antonio, we picked that spot. I think it's generally agreed it's going to take us, I say us, because there will be people that will follow me, 10 to 15 years to really see that area turn around. It was left alone so long to deteriorate. And you can't, what's the cliche, you can't rebuild Rome overnight. But I love that section of town. I think it's, I feel it's the best. We don't have the growth that Northwest has. And the big...
How's the traffic?
On Perrin Vidal, it's not good at all. I mean, it's heavy, heavy traffic. I just can't believe it. It used to be a two-lane road. I can't imagine what it would be like.
We had a lot more cars now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. But it's a good side of town. I'm proud of my neighborhood. I'm proud of the work that's being done by this task force and by the city. We couldn't do it alone. That was proven positive the two other times that they tried to get something started, and it went nowhere because it didn't have the backing of the city.
Yeah, that's what people concluded in 2007 after an attempt to try to make something happen. They say that there was at that time we saw a flight of businesses, an influx of problems such as graffiti and empty buildings that have become an eyesore. Even today, we're seeing a lot of empty buildings up that area, and that's sort of if we're looking for infill development to promote San Antonio, this is a great place to try to bring that to happen. What about the home values in that area? How are they doing, Bud?
We're looking at the printout from the tax department, county tax department, the other day, and the value of my home has multiplied 5 times since the day we bought it.
That's like everywhere in San Antonio, though.
Yes.
I mean, it's, you know.
I never dreamed that the investment we were making would gain that much over this. Of course, we've been there 40 years, and that has a bearing on it, but still, it could have deteriorated. That's one of the things where the neighborhood is concerned, is that we stress beautification, anti-graffiti, and we try desperately to keep that from happening because that's the first sign of deterioration.
Now, we're now joined by a former District 10 Councilman Mike Gallagher. And Councilman Gallagher, welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I think this is a great subject today, Dave.
Yeah, I do too. And so hopefully we can get something started here and get some TLC going up Perrin Vidal Road. Where do you think the first step ought to be?
Well, I think we're doing it the right way. One of the best news information that we just recently heard was that our councilman, Clayton Perry, went up and visited the governor. He talked to Governor Abbott and said, we've got to be a part of this opportunity zone. And believe it or not, the governor listened, and he originally wasn't going to be supporting that area, and he went ahead and approved it. So with that, there's going to be some major benefits to the Northeast Corridor.
What would an opportunity zone do for that area?
Well, I think one of the main things is that because it provides tax credits for the people that are investing money in that area, in those businesses, I think it's going to attract some more. You know, one of the things, David, that really helped us out when we were pushing this so hard was when we got a box store like Walmart to come in. because when those big stores come in like that, what they'll do is bring in a lot of small businesses because they know, okay, there are going to be customers in that area. Let's go ahead and set up nearby. And we watched that happen, and that really helped improve things along that corridor.
Such as what happened along Austin Highway.
Exactly. In fact, we've always, as a part of District 10, been concerned about the idea, okay, Austin Highway did it. How come we can't seem to do it along Perrin, Bidel, Nacogdoches? And by just really paying attention, holding lots of meetings with businesses and neighborhood leaders like Bud Little, we were able to get some enthusiasm going and to get them interested in it. And then we did things like along with the city, and I've got to give city manager Cheryl Scully credit for this, we instituted the TERS, the Tax Increment Reinvestment Zone. And what that does is that takes a portion that the tax money that's collected and reinvested back in that area. And I think that's been so helpful for us because it's allowed a lot of these small businesses to improve their facades, to actually plant some trees and bushes and things like that to make the place a lot more attractive.
So there was a market study conducted by Wendell Davis and Associates in 2014 that was commissioned by the city, and it saw that 98% of the commercial buildings in the area were substandard and in substandard condition, including the post office.
Exactly right. So when the feds finally decided to spend some money to spruce things up too, I was very, very happy about that. I just thought that couldn't have been better. The other thing that study pointed out, and this one really got my attention, was the people in the neighborhoods that surrounded the Northeast Corridor were having to drive to other parts of town for just basic needs. You know, things that they should have been able to get along that corridor. And I think that was one of the goals that we really thought was important, that we've got to make sure that people know that they shouldn't have to go that far. And I'm glad you brought up the thing about have people using bicycles. You know, why not, you know, be able to just walk over to the store or use your bicycle to get there? And you can't do that if you're considered so far out, you know.
Right, but this is a part of town which is constructed mainly for vehicle traffic, and it makes it very difficult. When I was driving up and down the road this weekend, getting ready for today's program, I saw a family trying to cross the street, and they looked terrified. It was, a major adventure for them to try to do something like that. Although there are crosswalks, and there are and they do talk to you. You know, they tell you what street you're on, and all those other things. But it seems like more needs to be done for walkability. I want to thank you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in talking to with former councilman John Clamp and former councilman Carlton Soltz, all of us tried to make this a priority, you know, that we want to make sure that the city is looking at that so it's pedestrian friendly, but it also that we don't have traffic tie-ups like we do in some other areas.
All right, former councilman, District 10, Mike Gallagher, thank you so much for calling in and giving some more perspective to the challenges for revitalization of the Northeast Corridor. Appreciate that. Let me go back to, the City of San Antonio representative that we have, Rudy Nino. What is going on here? I mean, do y'all have a plan? Are y'all in pre-planning stages? When do we start seeing some improvements here?
Well, I think that we're starting to see the improvements now. One of the major initiatives that was adopted this past year and in previous years is a focus not just on the tax increment reinvestment zone, but also that, you know, that being an incentive for folks to build and to do improvements to their structures. But the grant program that Rebecca talked about, the city has put aside money consistently to provide a facade improvement program, and we've been able to use that to improve a number of properties. In 2018, 24 properties received a grant in order to improve their facades and also do site planning improvements in order to make the area more aesthetically pleasing, to help the businesses thrive, and to continue to generate pride in the community. So there are a number of things that are happening today. There's a number of other facade improvements that are happening now. Like I said, the project manager, Heather Yost, is working with property owners now. And additionally, there is a revitalization plan. So we will continue to stay focused on implementing that plan. And the next step will be implementing a set of corridor design standards, which will not just focus on the private side, what type of new development and what that's going to look like, but also public improvements that are needed in order to help this corridor thrive.
When you drive up and down the corridor, you see a lot of small businesses, and you appreciate these are struggling small businesses, and there's the backbone of the area. Don't see a lot of trees. And is the city interested in planting, especially there are some areas where the city does own the property, in putting in trees into that? Because it certainly would kind of help the environment and make it more aesthetically pleasing.
Absolutely. I mean, that has to be part of the conversation. If we want to have a walkable community, we have to have a community where folks feel comfortable actually walking in their area. And when you have 90 to 100 degree days consistently throughout the summer, it's important that folks walking to public transit or walking to the store have a comfortable travel. So yes, it has to be part of the conversation as we continue to move forward. So we will be incorporating that as part of this design guideline where we want to see tree plantings occur.
I'm going to go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Catherine, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me on. I've lived in the Northeast Corridor for about 15 years. My kids went to Madison. And I also just got done literally driving a senior around her neighborhood by the Pearl. And she's scared they're going to sell her Saha house apartments and she won't have any place to live. And I wouldn't want to see that kind of gentrification come to the Northeast. It's a place that a single parent like me can raise children and be able to afford a mortgage without, if I want something fancy, I love going downtown. I'm 15, 20 minutes from downtown, but I don't necessarily need all of that to make my property, for affordable families to be able to move in. I also would love to see some kind of crosswalk between Amber Oaks and the Walmart. People there cross all the time, and it's so dangerous for them. And a lot of them can't walk far. So those are my comments.
Thank you for calling in, Catherine. Good comments. The concern of gentrification, we hear it all the time when we do these type of programs, when we talk about neighborhoods. And so I guess the trick is, Rudy, is that we want to be able to bring improvements to neighborhoods and not be afraid of bringing improvements to neighborhoods because it could trigger gentrification, but we should have policies in place that would prevent gentrification while improving neighborhoods, right?
That's absolutely correct. I think that whenever we do a revitalization initiative such as this, we have to be mindful of the impact on of course, our neighborhoods and all of the neighbors in the surrounding area. So whenever you take a comprehensive look, you have to ensure that folks who live in that area can continue to live in that area and are not going to see a significant negative impact to their way of life or their quality of life. That'll be one of the things that we look at when we do the regional center plan starting this summer in this area. The Northeast Corridor is part of that regional growth center. We're going to do a land use assessment. We're going to work with the community to make sure that they're a part of that process. And I anticipate that the topic of gentrification or possible gentrification would come up. And we have to work with the community to make some recommendations on how we think we can combat the potential negative impact on those residential neighborhoods.
And that's going to take community involvement and listening to the members of the community, people in the neighborhood. It's their homes, it's their lives that are being impacted by this. They've got to be part of the conversation. And you can join the conversation right now as we talk about the future of the Northeast Corridor, which is Perrin Bidle up to Nacogdoches Road, 210-614-8980. When we come back, we'll talk about code compliance, crime sweeps, zoning, and more. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Perrin Bidle Road up Loop 410, and then it turns into Nacogdoches Road. And this is an area, since the 70s, it's really been picking up, and then it kind of hit a brick wall that stalled and then went on to decline. Several efforts by neighborhood associations, business owners stopped the bleeding. They were able to bring in some improvements, but it really hasn't, it still has a lot of problems. It's kind of a spotty I saw an adjective describing the area as unpretentious, and I think that's probably a good way to talk about it, but it needs some tender love and care from the city of San Antonio in order to bring it into its full potential. What do you want to see happening to this area? How would you characterize it? What's the vibe like if you live in this? We need to kind of get an idea. What's it like to live in this area? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And let's go to the phones with Tan. And Tan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you brought this issue up. It's kind of like a pleasant surprise. I'm a new entrepreneur, a new owner of the building there that I currently, actually, a renovation is ongoing. But prior to that, I think that, you know, this area is really, really, to what I can see, is have potential. I bought a new building there, but what I can tell you is that, number one, Mr. Perry's office has been, like, really supportive, very, very nice to work with, very responsive to my to when I call. However, I think what slowed me down last year to get things moving was Homeowner Association. Now that they approved my project, I guess I can tell. So that can be improved as far as Homeowner Association helped us business owner to speed up a process, a request to change, like, the zoning, for example. Also, the City of San Antonio also can help us speed up a request, let's say, you know, to approve the plans or architects and engineers and stuff like that, so we can move on, get a project speed up. And in fact, my project was like about 3 months delay due to combination of Homeowner Association and ACOSA, both the City of San Antonio.
Okay,
so that's my...
Yeah, I think there's a lot, you put a lot on the table there, so let's talk about that. So, he talked about zoning, and that's when, and we'll get to other parts that he talked about in a second. So let's talk about, what is this area zoned for, and was this zoning anyway going to be problematic in trying to revitalize the area? So Rudy Nino with the City of San Antonio Planning and Community Development.
Well, the area is primarily zoned for heavy commercial uses. It's zoned C3, and the majority of the corridor is pretty much stripped out at C3. The reason why that can be problematic is because it allows basically the most intense uses.
Because it seems sort of industrial in some areas.
It does. And I think that is because there are some areas that are primarily industrial in character. They may be allowed in the C3 district, or there may be pockets of industrial zoning as well. But the majority of the corridor itself or along the roadway is C3. Part of SA Tomorrow is that a recommendation coming out of that is that we build upon the concept of mixed-use corridors, looking at corridors not just as auto-oriented, large, big-box developments that don't have the opportunity for folks to live and continue to work. But so we want to see more of those mixed-use corridors, and this the Northeast Corridor is one of those that has a lot of potential. There are a lot of undeveloped or underdeveloped property that really could see additional investment if we look at the option of providing some flexibility for folks to use their property in multiple ways.
But little.
With that in mind, Barron Oak Shopping Center was left vacant for a dozen years or longer, and all of a sudden a developer bought it, took it over. Some of the businesses, I would think, are maybe here today and gone tomorrow, but it's still being utilized. And right across the street is that old Northern Hills Bank that's been vacant for a long time. I understand Bill Miller has bought it, and they've got, it was a haven for transients, and they've got fences around it now, and they're going to start working on it. That pleases the fire out of me, because that...
So there's some positive activity.
Oh, there is lots of positive activity. Sometimes you can't see it right off the bat, but I have seen a major change, a significant change in Perrin Bidel in the last 4 or 5 years, and primarily since the city got involved and got people involved that want to make it work.
It helps to have an identity for an area so that when I don't have to keep explaining what the Northeast Corridor is or Perrin Bidel and Nacogdoches. I mean, so do you think that most of the people in San Antonio have an understanding, or is it just a very regional type of a location, a character, people? How do we transpose this to the rest of the city? I mean, I really, because I like doing this program because I want to talk about different parts of San Antonio and hyper-focus on certain issues. But when you talk about investing in this area, and someone else might be saying, well, what about Zarzamora, or what about San Pedro, or what about Blanco Road? But any dollar that we invest in this area could bring big returns for the entire city, just in avoiding further dilapidation and increasing job opportunities and better livability for all sorts of folks. So, but it does help to have an idea of a character of a community. So Rebecca Podowski with the office of District 10 City Council Member Clayton Perry, can you talk about what is the character? How would you define this? If this was a person, what kind of person would it be?
Well, I would say it's a well-established, stable individual. This area was primarily built out in the 70s and was a host to a lot of young families. And you still see a lot of those families there today. They picked a spot and they stayed there. And I would like to give a lot of credit to those that can find a place to live that long. And I think going forward, our office's work has been kind of creating an overarching identity for that area. We do have our own history. The Perrin Bidel Cemetery is home to a lot of San Antonio names that you only see the streets for.
I want to know the story behind that cemetery. You know, it seems like, you know, can you tell me more about that?
Sure. Well, it's actually our mystery project in District 10. We have been trying to locate the owner of it because we would like to use some of our TERS funding to improve it and kind of make it a...
What do you mean you don't know the owner of it?
We have been trying to locate who actually, you know, runs, oversees, manages that property.
So there's someone doing maintenance on it.
Well, right now, we actually have volunteers doing maintenance. Whoever the mystery caretaker was has since passed, and no one was taking care of it. And we were getting calls about this overrun cemetery. So we went out there, and we see all these graves with the great San Antonio names of Wurzbach and Riddiman and Eisenhower. And we say, this is special. This is something that we need to be proactive in securing and stabilizing and improving. So we worked it out.
Particularly in the tricentennial year, yes. We should be able to try to highlight, protect this big part of San Antonio history.
Yes. And so that's kind of goes into the identity of this area. Is it used to be a lot of the old landowning families of San Antonio were
Tobin's
in this area.
Out there.
Yes. And so we want to acknowledge that, you know, while this is not a downtown area, this is an area that just has its own history. The El Camino Real Trail runs right through our Northeast Corridor. And that was the old road going up and out of San Antonio for travelers, used for hundreds of years. And so we were able to get that recognized through the National Park Association. And you'll see El Camino Real signs up along the original trail now, Nacogdoches and Perrin Bidel. So it's about kind of creating identity of this place matters and where do we go from here.
And Bud Little, you want to add to that?
I don't know. I think she did a dramatic job.
What is it? If you had to describe an individual who would be represent like an avatar for this part of San Antonio, what would that guy, woman be like?
Nice individual, quiet, unassuming, a little ragged around the edges.
Hardworking, honest.
Hardworking.
Honorable.
Yes. Someone who wants to do well, but doesn't know how to do it by itself, him or herself.
Team player.
Yeah. Like I say, the council members, since I've been on the board, have done a tremendous job at encouraging us and encouraging the staff to really turn this area around. But I said a while ago, it's going to take 15 years before we really see a major change.
I'm going to take a caller, and this is Melissa. Melissa, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to let you know that I was born and raised in San Antonio and born and raised on the northeast side. And I remember what you were talking about, how Perrin Bidel Nacogdoches area got real big and got real popular. And then it kind of leveled out a little bit. But I just wanted to point out that right up the street is kind of headed toward Bracken and Garden Ridge. There's a ton of great restaurants just north of that little area. Then you have Morgan's Wonderland, which feeds into the Thousand Oaks, Perrin Bidel part that you're talking about, the NACO Parent area that now has the stadium and Hero Stadiums there, or it's about Parkway to the south. There's such potential again in that area just because of all of those things that I've just named. We are constantly riding our motorcycles through there or using that area to get from point A to point B because it's just so easy and so convenient. So there's a ton of potential right there.
All right. Melissa, thank you for the call. How has that Wurzbach Parkway changed the area? I mean, it's relatively new. Has that been something that has made it more accessible or changed?
Much more accessible. I can remember coming home from work, having to drive Schertz Road down, weeding around through there, low water crossings, and a little two-lane road. And, boy, putting in the Wurzbach Parkway, it was a dramatic change. And talking about that quarry area, the developer of that land has some great plans, future plans, over the next 3 to 5 years to add a whole bunch of new character-type programs and game areas to that part of the parkway.
Is that the Longhorn Quarry?
Yes.
Wasn't that slated to be redeveloped into, like the city was supposed to do something with that or buy it out or no?
Okay. Not aware of any plans on buying it.
I was reading old newspapers where they were talking about that. I guess it never happened.
At one time, it was tagged as a possible location for the Spurs Arena.
All right. Well, that would have been weird. All right. We're going to take a break, get back to some callers. Got some emails to read. We're talking about the Northeast Corridor. You're welcome to the conversation, 210-614-8980. We're coming right back after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In the last bond election, Thousand Oaks Drive from Wetmore Road to Perrenbottle Road was allocated $3 million. Reconstruction for outside lanes along Thousand Oaks from Wetmore to Perrenbottle. That includes complete pavement improvements as appropriate with available funding. That's according to the information that the city provided at the time. And also, there was $1 million provided for the Perren Homestead Historic Center rehabilitation, and adaptive reuse of the historic homestead and property owned by the city of San Antonio. But I'm hearing that it's going to take more than $1 million, so there'll probably be more effort in this. But that could be a great jewel for this part of San Antonio. We're talking about the Northeast Corridor revitalization, and Roger is on the line. Roger, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to bring up. That's actually my subject that I wanted to bring up about what the city was planning to do with this particular property for the future, because we've always known that the Northeast was a thriving area, but we always, in the area close to 410, we didn't have a whole lot of park or useful area to enter the area. And it seems to me that a park somewhere close to the Perren Vital 410 area would be a great enhancement to that area to help encourage more families to consider it a family area. For years, I've lived there on the Northeast Corridor for 30 years, and I've seen it go through blight, and I'm seeing a renovation process going on right now, and it's wonderful. But I think we need to look at long-term about how do we encourage young families to move into that area, revitalize an area that was once established by families that are now senior citizens.
All right, Roger, thank you for the call. So I'm going to go to Rebecca Podowski with the District 10, Clayton Perry's office. Can you tell us more about what the view is, what the vision is for taking care of that Perren Homestead Historic Center?
Thank you. Primarily, we're looking at trying to secure green space for that part of Perrenbottle. We already have a little bit of green space with the Tobin Trailhead, but nothing directly off of Perrenbottle for the neighborhoods right there that they could easily walk to.
Is this just empty land, or is there a structure there?
There is the original Perren Homestead on the property.
What's that look like?
It looks like an old home. It needs a little bit of love, but it's, I can't remember the exact year it was built, but it's very reflective of the early type of homesteads that you see out here on the side of San Antonio. And we would like to just see it rehabilitated, possibly put, you know, a city department office out there if we need to, but just to secure that little piece of history and just give a little bit of green space back to the area.
It's important to see what these areas were like before the city fell on top of them. It's part of our history. Spud Little, what would you like to see at that homestead?
I'd like to see renovation of the house and property. I'd like to see more involvement by the city, like I say, like has been said, the park. I think it would make a big difference. I think it would bring a little more community. What's the word I'm looking for?
Like some sort of cohesion?
Yeah, something like that. But I don't know. It's going to take time. It's going to take individuals' efforts. It's going to take dedication. And
it's going to take community involvement.
Yes.
You know, the neighborhoods in the area are very active.
But it's great to have a point of pride for a neighborhood to sort of define what it is. Let me go to John Clamp. He's with us, and he's a former
district.
He's another district 10 city council member. And Mr. Clamp, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you so much. I just wanted to kind of lend some perspective on why the city's now focusing on Parent Vital. If you remember, a few years back, we did the same thing, the same focus with Austin Highway from Broadway to Harry Wurzbach. Tremendous redevelopment in that area. And it just, you start with one project and two projects, city focus, incentives, projects, and you know, loans to small businesses, all those kinds of things. And it really does work. If you get the community involved, the neighborhoods, the business development, the city, everybody working in the same direction, things do and can happen rather quickly. Instead of 30 years, maybe it does take 10 to 15 years, but at least it happens. I'm so excited that the council office and the community and the Northeast Corridor group are all working in concert to make that area fantastic. You've got a Northeast Senior Center. You've got Morgan's Wonderland, tremendous development. You've got the trailheads. Everything's working in positive unison to make Parent Vital and Nacogdoches area really revitalized. So it's really fantastic to see.
All right, Councilman Clamp, thank you so much. I got a question to ask you real quick, though. One of our emailers says, can we get rid of pawn shops and payday loans in that area? Can you, from a city council, your former city council person, can you talk about the limitations that you have to deal with that type of stuff?
I mean, you can do that. Depending on where that area is, you can kind of rezone that area. You can make it an overlay district. You can do all kinds of things. It's not easy, but you can do it. It's easier when that business leaves to rezone it, when there's, like, it's in transition. You can do those kinds of things. But really, when you have positive development, the land prices in that space become so valuable that developers pay a premium to make it a restaurant or a shopping center or something of that nature. So it really kind of takes care of itself. But the city is going to use all their tools in their toolbox to make that area great again. So I'm pretty excited about that.
All right. John Clamp, thank you so much for joining us on that. And another call, another email we received from Blake. I live off Wetmore Road. It's close enough to Parent Vital that I often shop there. I can't walk to anything meaningful. I wish zoning restrictions would be dumped. I don't understand how. So is there a connection between zoning restrictions and walkability? Rudy Nino.
Well, zoning, the intent of zoning, at least as we're trying to implement in San Antonio, is to support walkable communities. So you can ensure that areas are zoned, you know, for neighborhood scaled mixed use and neighborhood commercial and so forth in order to support the needs and desires of the community as it relates to walkability and biking and so forth. So I would suggest that looking at the zoning code and trying to find the right tools in order to support the idea of walkability and transit and so forth are really the ways to go.
So in order to have walkability, you need to get things closer together, you know, and not have such things spread out. So you need higher density and you need to worry about, you know, not being hit by traffic so much. I mean, doing research, I saw an astonishing number of fatalities on this area of traffic accidents, motorcycle accidents, and pedestrian accidents. Mm-hmm. So are y'all looking at that as well, trying to make sure that public safety is part of this redevelopment?
Absolutely. I think that especially as it relates to the regional center plan, Heather Yost is also going to be helping us by serving as a project manager for that. And we are definitely going to be looking at public safety, mobility, where are the right spaces to create mixed-use communities and mixed-use areas so that we can provide the necessary public improvements to help provide the environment and atmosphere for folks to want to walk and bike.
Got a suggestion from Steven on Twitter. He says that a food truck park with shade and some picnic tables would be nice in that area since there's available some land in that area. Is that something that the city council department could figure out?
Yes, in short answer, and I would be there at that food truck park 100%. That's something that we can take a look at and see what do we need to get set in place in order to help bring that kind of development here to San Antonio and Northeast Corridor specifically.
So, Bud Little, you're the neighborhood president for the Hills of North Park. What are the people telling you in that neighborhood association?
They're telling me to keep up the good work and keep trying to revitalize Perrin Vital. That it all affects our property values, and so they're interested in keeping crime down. Crime has a tendency to have its ups and downs along Perrin Vital. Fortunately, we're not as bad off as some sections of the city, but the people in the Hills of Park North are concerned about Perrin Vital because the effect that it has on our area. But I think they're totally supportive of getting something turned around. And I know they're really pleased about Perrin Oaks. That's been an eyesore for a long time, like I said earlier.
And so crime and code compliance, those are two things that kind of go together. You want to make sure that code compliance continues to be enforced. And so, Rudy Nino, with the city of San Antonio, do y'all do specific sweeps?
There have actually historically been sweeps specifically in the Northeast Corridor area to look at those businesses that may or may not have the appropriate permits, to look at structures that may be substandard and so forth. So there have been targeted sweeps. I think that part of any kind of comprehensive look at an area in order to revitalize it needs to include some higher level of compliance.
Out of a neighborhood sweep came the Hills of Park North neighborhood. What we did was we combined two neighborhoods, the Hills and Park North, and we're divided by El Sendero because one couldn't support the other, just one section. We've got about 615 homes in this area, and it's been a out of that sweep, like I say, that was the criteria for getting the neighborhood association going. There was not one there before. I really support the sweeps, either business-wise or in neighborhoods.
And Rebecca?
That was actually something that we started with Councilman Clayton Perry, was submitting a CCR, implementing a formal policy when it came to commercial corridor code sweeps. There was something we could request for, but there wasn't a formal policy in place for it. And so that was one of our first things that we did, and it was approved. And we look forward to seeing more sweeps come across San Antonio to areas like ours that just need that little bit of extra oversight to keep things running.
But it seems like small businesses have been at the heart of this. They've been the backbone of making sure that we haven't forgotten about this area. Is this corridor, Northeast Corridor, is that an official designation or is that just what it's called?
Yes, the official designation is the Northeast Corridor Revitalization Initiative, I believe, or NEC for short.
Yes.
And y'all continue to reach out to the small businesses and make sure that they're aware of what's happening and that it doesn't do any good to shut down the street to do paving and then and small businesses have to suffer along the way, right?
Right. Actually, last fall, Heather Yost in the planning department and I block walked for it, and we've block walked before to spread the word. This past time, we were spreading the word about the grant program as that application period was opening soon. So we just knocked on doors and met with small businesses and made sure to let them know that we're here and we're ready to help them when they're ready to, you know, improve their business.
Rebecca Podowski is a senior policy advisor for District 10 City Council Representative Clayton Perry, also joined by Rudy Nino, assistant director for the City of San Antonio's Department of Planning and Community Development. And with us also is Bud Little, legendary broadcaster, neighborhood president for the Hills of Park North, member of the Northeast Corridor Steering Committee. This is Texas Public Radio, The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.